Turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, reading the verses 1 through 20. Let's hear God's holy word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 9 of Luke chapter 2. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Beloved congregation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we commemorate today, was accompanied by a powerful manifestation of the glory of God. We have a record of that in our text this morning in Luke 2, verse 9. And there we read that shortly after the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, some shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. And while they were there, suddenly an angel of the Lord stood before them. And Luke says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What a sight that must have been. Imagine for a moment standing there with those shepherds and the night that Jesus was born. It's pitch dark. You can see the stars in the sky. Whether the moon was out or not, we don't know. The only sound that you hear is the bleating of sheep. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there is this pure white light. And an angel of the Lord standing before you. Maybe you have been outside during the night, during a lightning storm, maybe far away up north where the sky is very, very dark. And every time that a lightning bolt flashes across the sky, it illuminates the entire landscape for miles around, creating an almost surreal effect. Well, this is what these shepherds must have experienced. Except that this light, this blinding light, lasted for more than just a split second. These shepherds were immersed, were enveloped in the glory of God. This is what we want to consider with the Lord's help as we commemorate the birth of our Lord this morning. Our theme is the shepherds immersed in the glory of God. The shepherds immersed in the glory of God. We'll consider the wonder of this, the reaction to this, and the explanation for this. The events of our text took place in the middle of the night. Luke tells us that in the fields surrounding Bethlehem, the city of David, there were some shepherds. And they were keeping watch over their flock. And then suddenly, as we've seen, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Well, who was this angel? Well, we don't know. Some say it was Gabriel, who also appeared to Zacharias and also to Mary. Well, we cannot say for sure. It seems to indicate that he was, because Luke refers to him as the angel of the Lord. But whoever it was, he appeared to these shepherds. Why had he appeared to them? Well, he appeared to them, of course, to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do something similar, don't we? When we are blessed with the birth of a child, we usually announce the birth. The father gets on the phone and he phones his parents and his wife's parents and the family, or we post it on Facebook, or we send out little baby cards with the name and the weight and the date of birth of the baby. We announce the birth because it's a joyful occasion. Whenever a new baby is born into the world, we rejoice, and we rejoice with those who have received the gift of new life. And that's what's happening here too. God the Father in heaven was so pleased, excited almost, with the birth of his Son that he sent an angel, no less, to announce his birth to men. And as he stood before them, Luke says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What is this glory that shone round about the shepherds? What is the glory of the Lord? Well, we can define it like this, although it is almost impossible to define, but here's an attempt at a definition. The glory of the Lord is a manifestation of the greatness, the power, the holiness, and the transcendence of God, usually in the form of brilliant, dazzling light. That's the glory of the Lord. And God is glorious in His being. He emanates glory. He has emanated glory from all eternity, and He still does to this day. If you were to go to heaven at this very moment, you would see the glory of the Lord. Unimaginable glory. The glory of the Lord is so bright, in fact, that John in Revelation says that in the New Jerusalem there will be no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God, he said, did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of the Lord is brighter than the sun. Must be something to see that glory. Think of our loved ones who have gone on before us, who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are beholding that glory even now. What a sight. Well, this is the glory that surrounded these shepherds. Yes, although God emanated this glory from all eternity in heaven, the heavens are full of the glory of the Lord. From time to time, the Bible tells us that the Lord reveals at least part of this glory to men on earth. He did so, for example, when he gave the law to his people Israel on Mount Sinai. Then all the people saw the glory of the Lord. There is also that incident in the life of Moses. Remember when the people, after the people had rebelled against God, and he was charged with that incredible task of leading the people into the promised land, and how at one point he said, "Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence." You see, Moses needed the presence of the Lord. He couldn't do this without the Lord. And then after that, he makes a request to God. He says, "Lord, show me thy glory." And the Lord did. But you remember how he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and all Moses was allowed to see was God's back parts. Moses saw something of the glory of the Lord. Isaiah saw something of the glory of the Lord too. In Isaiah chapter 6, when he sees that vision of the Lord seated on his temple, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple and the pillars did shake, you remember? And Isaiah saw the seraphim flying. With two they flew, and with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Isaiah saw the glory of God. And now, hundreds of years later, God reveals His glory again. Why now? Well, because now, at long last, the history of redemption had come to its climax. The Messiah, whose birth had been anticipated now for centuries, who had been prophesied about by the prophets for hundreds of years, he had come. He was born in Bethlehem. And to commemorate this glorious occasion, God sent an angel from the very throne room of heaven, resplendent in the glory of God, to announce the birth of His beloved Son. It's important to realize, congregation, that what the shepherds saw that night was not the glory of an angel. But Luke says it was the glory of the Lord. So in a way that we cannot fully explain, this angel who moments before had been in the very presence of God, had been standing before God Himself in the very throne room of heaven, he shone with the glory of God. Something mysterious about this. But something like this happened also when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. You remember, he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, receiving the law, being instructed in the law by God. And when he came down, his face shone with the glory of the Lord. And it was so bright, in fact, that the people of Israel urged him to put a veil on his face because they could not look upon him. He was so resplendent in the glory of the Lord. That's what's happening here as well. This angel is reflecting the glory of the Lord Himself, except he doesn't wear a veil. This glory was unfettered glory. It was unmitigated glory. It was the glory that shone around those shepherds was the glory of the Lord in all of its fullness. The shepherds were enveloped, were immersed in the glory of the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it, that this glory came to shepherds. It was shepherds who were enveloped in the glory of the Lord. The angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord did not come to Caiaphas the high priest.
in Jerusalem. It didn't come to the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem. It didn't come to Herod, the king of the Jews. It didn't come to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of the Jews. No, it came upon poor, insignificant shepherds. Now, there's something quite wonderful and amazing about this. Why do I say that? Well, because shepherds in New Testament times were considered by the Jewish people to be unclean. Something on the order of a leper. Same level. They were the dregs of society. And the reason for that is because they lived out in the open fields. And as such, they were unable to keep the ceremonial law of Moses. They also had a bad reputation, whether deserved or undeserved, I don't know. But they had a reputation for lying and stealing. Jewish law forbade shepherds from giving testimony in a court of law for that reason. They were despised. And yet it was to these poor shepherds, these wicked shepherds, that the angel came. Or, let me put it like this, it was to those shepherds that God sent his angel. And it was these shepherds that were enveloped in the glory of the Lord. Now there's a message being communicated to us there, isn't there? What is the message? Oh, the message is this, that no one is too unworthy for the Lord. That's certainly part of the message of Christmas, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for a purpose, to save sinners. And the fact that these shepherds were immersed in the glory of God tells us that no one is too unworthy for him. No one is too sinful for him. He is able and he is willing to receive all sinners unto himself, even the vilest and the most despised of sinners. They're all welcome. The Lord invites them. And to assure us of that, he envelops these shepherds in the glory of the Lord. God came down to these shepherds. Or do you see yourself this morning as unworthy? Despised of God and of man, my friend, no matter who you are, no matter how much sin and evil you have done in your life, the Lord invites you today to come to him. Just as he shone his glory on the shepherds, so he is willing to shine his glory on you if you come to him in faith and repentance. So this was a great wonder that this glory shone on these shepherds. Now, how did they react to this? Luke also tells us something about that. Brings us to our second point. When this glory of the Lord shone round about these shepherds, we might have expected the shepherds to be overcome with joy and to be thrilled and to bow their heads in humble adoration that the Lord would allow his glory to be shed upon them. Because what is, after all, what is more wonderful than to be enveloped, to be immersed in the glory of God? Isn't that what Moses wanted? Isn't that what every child of God desires, to see something of the glory of God? Well, here were these shepherds, and they were. They saw the glory of God. They were immersed in the glory of God. And so we might have expected them to be full of joy, but that's not what Luke tells us. In fact, their reaction to this glory of the Lord was the exact opposite of what we might have expected. Luke tells us that when the shepherds saw the angel and when they saw the glory of the Lord, they were sore. They were greatly afraid. Literally, the original says, they feared with great fear. In the original Greek, two words are used here. The word mega, which means great, also in the English language, and the word phobia, which is fear. So what these shepherds experienced was a severe case of megaphobia. This fear gripped them. They were paralyzed by fear. They were so afraid they could hardly move or speak. Now, why were they so afraid? Well, surely part of the reason why they were so afraid was because of the sudden appearance of the angel. And the text tells us that the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to them as if out of nowhere. And the Authorized Version says that the angel of the Lord came upon them. It's very dramatic, isn't it? He came upon them. Now, how would you react if all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord, bathed in the glory of God, suddenly appeared to you? Out of nowhere, out of thin air. I'm sure you would be afraid too, children. I'm sure you'd be afraid. Well, the shepherds were afraid. But the fear of these shepherds was deeper than this. You see, as the shepherds were enveloped, were immersed in the glory of God, they realized something. They realized that they were coming into contact with divine glory. And that frightened them. And that's always the case when sinful men come into contact with a holy God or a manifestation of the holiness of God. You remember I refer to Isaiah in Isaiah 6. And when he saw the Lord sitting on his temple and he saw those seraphim and the glory of the Lord in the temple, how did he respond to that? He cried, "Woe is me! I am undone! For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah realized that at that moment he was standing before a holy God. And he realized he could not do so. He realized that God is holy and that he himself was a sinner and therefore he deserved God's wrath and condemnation. And so what does Isaiah do? He effectively pronounces judgment upon himself. "Woe is me," he says. It's like Isaiah is saying, "Who am I to stand in the presence of God? Who am I to have contact with the glory of God?" There's something very sad about that reaction of Isaiah and of the shepherds. I say sad because there was a time in paradise when man basked in the glory of God. When God came down from heaven and walked and talked with man in the garden in the cool of the day, there was communion, there was fellowship, there was friendship between God and man, and man had direct contact with the glory of God, and he thought nothing of it. It was delightful to him. He rejoiced in it. But as soon as Adam partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did he do? He hid himself in the trees. And he covered himself with fig leaves because his eyes were opened, you see. And he realized that he was a sinner. And instinctively, man knows that as a sinner, he cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. And from that moment forward, contact with God and being immersed in the glory of God and delighting in the glory of God, that all came to an end. Now, instead of delighting in God, man fears God. He trembles before God. And the effects of that are still with us today. Like the shepherds of old, and like Isaiah after them, man still today responds in terror at the glory of God. How many people are not afraid of lightning and thunder? or earthquakes and tsunamis and natural events like this. People quake in fear, and I wonder sometimes whether behind that there isn't this consciousness that there is a God. Because after all, the Lord does reveal Himself in these things. All of creation reveals God. I wonder if people, ungodly people, unregenerate people, aren't aware that there is a God in heaven and that He is full of wrath. And I wonder sometimes what goes through the minds of people when they encounter these natural disasters and this terrible destruction. Man quakes at the thought of standing before a holy and a righteous God. For that reason, he would rather wallow in his sin. Man would rather wallow in his sin than be confronted with the holiness of God and the righteous demands of the law of God. Because, you see, the holiness of God and the law of God condemns us. When we come face to face with the law of God and the holiness of God, then we realize how far short we come of what is expected of us, what is justly expected of us. God's glory is like a giant spotlight, a 10 million candle power spotlight that shines on a little tiny ant on the ground. And that ant is us. And all of heavenly glory, all the holiness of God shines down upon us. We can't even look at that holiness. It is so bright. It is so powerful. And we quake and we tremble in fear. Oh, this is what the shepherds experienced. They were sore afraid. And yet, congregation, what is really amazing here is that these shepherds were immersed in the glory of God, they were enveloped in the glory of God, and yet they lived to tell about it. They were not consumed by that glory. That's what they deserved. But that's not what happened. And that leads us to our third point. Why is that? Why were these shepherds not consumed by the glory of God? You know, there's a change that happens here. I don't know if you noticed it. I mentioned Moses a few minutes ago and how Moses wanted to see something of the glory of God, and God would not allow him. It would only allow him to see his back parts. And so God covered Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he passed by him. So Moses asked to see the glory of God, but he only saw a shimmering of that glory. When the Lord revealed His glory on the top of Mount Sinai, what did God command Moses to do? He commanded Moses to build a boundary, a fence, around the bottom, around the base of Mount Sinai. And He said to Moses, don't let anyone cross over that boundary. No animal, no human being, if anyone does, they are to be put to death. No one was even allowed to touch the mountain. And when the tabernacle was completed, do you remember how the Shekinah glory of God descended upon the tabernacle in that cloud? And we read that Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle. So thick was that cloud, and so great was the glory of God. The same thing happened at the dedication of the temple when after Solomon dedicated the temple and offered that wonderful prayer to the Lord. We read again that the Shekinah glory of God came down upon the temple and the priests were not able to enter into the temple. So in the Old Testament, there is this manifestation of the glory of God, but it's off limits, as it were. Until now, we see the shepherds, poor, mean shepherds, not just coming into brief contact with the glory of God, but being immersed in the glory of God, being enveloped in the glory of God, and yet not being consumed by it. Now, how do we explain that? Well, the answer comes in the next verse, doesn't it? We read that after exhorting them not to fear, the angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, to you shepherds, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Ah, there we have the answer. This is why these shepherds could be immersed, could be enveloped in the glory of God and live to tell about it. It was because a Savior had been born. Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and because He was born in Bethlehem, instead of mega fear, there is mega joy. And instead of mega death, there is mega life. And instead of being consumed by the glory of the Lord, the shepherds may bask in it and be enveloped by it and even rejoice in it. Because He was born, we too can be enveloped in the glory of God. This glory that the shepherds saw was only the beginning of glory. We could say in a sense that the whole earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was a manifestation of the glory of God. That's what John says in John 1, verse 14. You remember what he says, "And the Word was made flesh." He's speaking about the Lord Jesus now. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And then John says this, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, when did the disciples see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they saw it particularly in a powerful way, in a memorable way, when the Lord Jesus was transfigured. Then Matthew says in Matthew 17, verse 2, that His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became as white as the light. That's especially when they saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they saw His glory throughout His earthly ministry. They saw His glory when He healed the sick, when He changed the water into wine, when He taught the people in the temple, when He stood before the Sanhedrin and Pontius Pilate and made a good confession, when he was even dying on the cross. He manifested His glory. He manifested His glory when He rose again on the third day, and when he ascended up into heaven. His whole life was a manifestation of the glory of God, and the disciples saw it and they came into contact with it. They were not consumed. And not only did Christ manifest the glory of God, those who believe on His name will also partake of it. This is even more mind-boggling. That one day, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer today, one day you will partake of the glory of God. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. He writes there that he, and by extension all believers, is a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He uses the present tense. It's interesting, isn't it? Already now. Not some point in the future, not when we're glorified, but already now, in a sense, we are partakers of the glory of God. And a few verses later, he writes that he and all believers have been called by God to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says something similar, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. He says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In Colossians 3, verse 4, he writes to the Colossians that when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This glory that enshrouded the shepherds in the night that Jesus was born, one day will envelop us who are in Christ. And we'll become partakers of it. We're already now partakers of it. whether we realize it or not. I wish we did realize it more. We're already partakers of that glory, but one day, when the Lord Jesus comes again, then it will be all glorious. And we'll be fully partaking of that glory and be immersed in that glory. Now, when that day will happen, of course, we don't know. The Lord knows, but this much we can be sure of, that it will happen. This is the promise of the Lord. And when it does, that glory that will be revealed will be far greater than the glory that shone in the fields of Ephrata the night that Jesus was born. For Isaiah says, then that glory will fill the whole earth. The glory of the Lord, Isaiah says, shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And Isaiah says further that they shall feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom and delight with the abundance of her glory, and they shall behold the glory of the Lord and live in the light of that glory forever and ever. Well, this is the message of the glory of the Lord. It is that one day this glory will cover the entire earth, and all of God's people will bask in that glory to all eternity. On Christmas Day, we commemorate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's good. It's good that we remember all the great acts of redemption. But we also commemorate today the effects of His birth, the results, the consequences of His birth. And one of those effects is the glory of the Lord. And that you and I, sinners, like these shepherds, will one day be partakers of that glory in all of its fullness. Oh, do you desire that for yourself, my friend? Then you need to come to the Lord Jesus. You need to come to Him with repentance, confessing your sin, confessing your need, looking to Him and His atoning sacrifice on the cross as your only hope. Those who do not do that, they live in darkness. And they will dwell in darkness for an everlasting eternity. But those whose eyes the Lord has opened by His Word and Holy Spirit to see Christ as the only living Savior, they will partake of the light and bask in the glory of God forever and ever. This is why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. This is why He was born in Bethlehem. This is why He comes to you also in the preaching of His Word this morning, so that you too may partake of His glory. Amen.